broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for July 22nd in the year of our Lord, 2022. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide, and absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers. What are the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips? As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Turn it up, Cam. Come on. And have a good time. Ladies and gentlemen, Constitution Party nominee in 2004 runs for office in the great state of Maryland for the position of Attorney General. His name is Michael Peruca. He's with us now, and he just won his primary. Welcome to the broadcast, Michael.
Sam, it's great to be with you. Good morning, sir.
As we talked right before we came on air, winning is a lot better than losing, huh?
Well, yes, sir. Sam, you know, I've won some elections, I've lost some elections, and it's a whole lot more fun to win. But the point is, it's all in God's plan, and I'm grateful for his blessing.
All right, now let's talk about this for a little bit, because you know what? I had been looking on Tuesday when it was vote time and everything else that I was going on, what's going to happen? And then it was extended, and they said, hey, we don't have the final vote counts. It's looking good for Michael, but we don't know. And I was concerned about an election fraud scenario. Were you worried about that at all?
Well, yes, Sam, I was, and believe it or not, I still am, not just for my race, but for some other races. And the reason I say that is because there's so many mail-in ballots that actually they're still counting. Now, I still have a comfortable lead despite that, but I have about a 30,000 vote lead, and the election came out about 58 points to 42 points, something like that, roughly, won by about 16 points. So that's a fairly safe margin. But the whole process is very
Yeah, that's what problem. Donald thought there, buddy.
yes, that's exactly right. So I haven't in any way claimed victory or and nobody has conceded. We're looking like we're beyond the danger point here.
No, I agree. I want to point this out, though. When you say no one's conceded, that's interesting. Whenever we don't concede, they make a big heyday about that. Now they're not conceding, huh?
Well, that's true. The fact is, with so much uncertainty, I really don't blame my opponent for not conceding because there's so much uncertainty in this situation now. That's why one of the planks of my platform is to absolutely investigate and restore election integrity. We need to. There have been anomalies in the 2020 election all over, not just in the swing states that we've heard about on the news, but all over the country. There have been anomalies, including in my state of Maryland. There are four or five counties in Maryland which have in the 2020 election serious anomalies, just things that don't make any mathematical sense. And then I believe we also need to, part of my what I hope to do as Attorney General is conduct a comprehensive review of all the election methods to ensure fairness and transparency. We've got to get rid of the machines, Sam. The machines are ridiculously absurd in terms of the fraud that they make possible. And then we've got to prosecute those people who have either falsified the election process or have falsified the election results. There has to be consequences for these things, or, well, it's just obvious that these things need to be redressed and people who committed these crimes brought to justice. These are treasonous actions.
Well, what I find fascinating is the mainstream press and the government always runs around and says, hey, we have election fraud claims without evidence. But then my response is, we have over four sheriffs open investigations right now across the country. How do you claim there's no vote fraud in the middle of legitimate investigations?
Right. They claim all the time that there's no evidence, but that's because their eyes are closed and they don't want to admit to the evidence that there's, I think, at least I'm just speaking for my state of Maryland, Sam. If there's a group here called Maryland Voter Integrity Group, and they have counterparts across the country. A really wonderful lady named Robin Sachs runs that organization here, and the things that they've uncovered are absolutely compelling. They're absolutely compelling. And one of the things that I tell you what got me off the couch about this subject matter some time ago, Sam, is when I learned that in the transfer of some votes from some computers to others, in some of the downloads of tallies, they actually are downloading and transferring fractional percentages of votes. They're saying here's 3/10 of a vote, here's 4/10 or 5/10 of a vote. In what universe, Sam, does that make any sense except if you're cheating? I mean, why would you ever break a vote, one person's vote, into some kind of fractional amount in terms of tallies? That's just absurd to me. So these are the kind of things that just need to be...
The reason they want the fractionalized voting like that is because then they can give like 2/5 to Michael and 7/5 to me, kind of a thing, and you know,
right.
This kind of stuff, right?
But in what world does that make any sense except for cheating? I mean, that's...
yeah, zero. Of course, the answer is zero. It makes no sense at all. And ladies and gentlemen, this is why we say this is a big issue. We're not crying sour grapes. Michael won. Okay, we're not, this isn't sour grapes. This is a reality check in America that we all need to have, regardless of what party you're from, regardless if you believe it occurred or not. We need to build transparency, accountability into the system. Investigations and accountability and prosecution is where it starts so that we can gain trust in the system again. I'm a guy that says we need to return to paper ballots. We need to have video cameras on all the counts so that we can do an instant replay if necessary. We need to have vote counters and vote watchers who are all in the room physically, who then swear under the penalty of perjury to their physical count. Then the ballots need to be stored for a certain amount of time. Hey, if I have to, you know, swear under the penalty of perjury for my taxes, they should certainly have to do it for the vote. And then if I have to keep my tax records for 7 years, my heck, at least they can keep the ballots for that long. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is a very simple process that everyone should be willing to go for. Everybody should want honest elections. And if you don't, if you say that we're just nuts and crazy, and my question is, what stake do you have in keeping the system the way it is? And that's really the question that I would ask. And then for the media, I would say, look, while there's open investigations, how dare you? How dare you, while there's open investigations, claim that we have no evidence, and without evidence, or there is no vote fraud, or elections fraud already been debunked? Not when there's current legitimate investigations underway. If we believe in the American way, you'd wait till those are complete before you make such a statement, wouldn't you, Michael?
Of course. The illogic of what comes from the major media just puts the stamp on what Donald Trump for years has made famous with the just fake news. I mean, the mainstream media just presupposes that election fraud and talking about election fraud is just a big lie. Well, based on what? I mean, there's evidence all over the place, and it's frustrating sometimes to see how much people just accept what major media says. I mean, I have to admit, in my own life, Sam, I used to say that I didn't believe the media, but I have to admit that I gave them more credit than they deserve throughout my life, but no longer.
You and the rest of us, we're all coming to an awakening to some degree, and we realize the awful state in which we find ourselves in many ways, but we also take courage in that, you know what, Americans are resilient. The supreme law of the land, the Constitution, is the great stabilizer if we use the checks and balances, if we stand with the supreme law. If we turn to God Almighty and have a moral people and a moral society, look, we're promised protection. He'll heal our land and protect us. I mean, even though it seems dire and seems like a big struggle and it's scary, the fact is there's great hope for the future, sir.
Well, you know, I am very hopeful. You know, in this election, my primary election was even surprised me at the margin with which I was able to prevail. I'm grateful to God, as I said, for that blessing, and grateful to the people of Maryland and the Maryland Republican people. The Republican Party didn't help me at all in my election. The Republican Party in Maryland is very establishment oriented, and what I mean by that is that there really is a deal going on between the Democrats and the Republicans. This is really not about Democrats versus Republicans. This is about freedom lovers versus those people who want to keep the status quo. What I think this election is about is whether or not we're going to return to the philosophy of government of our founders, that there is a God and our rights come from him, and the purpose of government is to protect those God-given rights, whether we're going to restore that understanding or whether we're going to continue down this road of a socialist, communist, tyrannical situation. I mean, I think that's what this election is really about for people right now.
All right, Michael, hang tight. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Michael Perutka. He just won his primary without the help of the Republican Party as Attorney General for the great state of Maryland. When we come back, I want to know what the general election is going to look like. And then I want to talk a little bit more about what he hopes to accomplish in office. That's vital as well. We'll do it in seconds on Liberty Roundtable Live.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Ladies and gentlemen, Michael Perutka with us from the great state of Maryland. TheAmericanView.com is website for incredible education on the Constitution. He's won the primary, folks. We hope it holds. You got a mail-in ballots, which I believe are one of the greatest lack of chain of custody ballots we can possibly have. It's dangerous, to say the least, and anybody can see that there's not a custody of ballots there, a chain of custody that makes sense. So that's an easy one to debunk and say, look, we shouldn't have those mail-in ballots at all. It jettisons the precincts, which is the founding most close to government that we can get in America. You know, hey, this circumvents all that. It's a problem. And we know there's all kinds of issues with the chain of custody of ballots, but I digress. Michael is with us, though, and we're talking about his campaign. He hopes to deal with election integrity issues as Attorney General of the great state of Maryland. but he also hopes to deal with the COVID abuses of our God-given rights. Look, with COVID, they've simply taken away all the constitutional protections, and it has not been pleasant, Michael.
No, and it's not only in my state, of course. You know, it's all over the country, Sam. For more than 2 years now, this quote unquote health crisis has been used as an excuse to deny Marylanders and other people in the country the exercise of their God-given and constitutionally protected rights, including the freedom to practice their religion, the freedom to assemble, and the freedom to associate, the freedom to make their own personal medical decisions, the freedom to run a business without interruption, as well as the freedom to just to move about without any molestation. None of this, Sam, none of it has been lawful. For too long, none of it has been lawful. All of it has been violative of the Constitution of Maryland and the Constitution of the United States. But for more than 2 years, we've been abused and censored and tyrannized by persons and entities who've misused their positions of public trust to deny our liberties and to steal our businesses, steal our substance, in the words of the founders, to indoctrinate our children, to invalidate our elections, and to attack our parental authority, to deny our bodily autonomy, to ruin our economy, to actually to repopulate our homeland, and ultimately to reduce us to servitude. So Sam, the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of Maryland contain language and provisions that make these things unlawful, but they've done them and they've gotten away with them mostly because people are not familiar with their Constitution and they're not able to articulate and defend their rights. Let me give you one quick example. There are two law schools in Maryland, Sam. The University of Baltimore and the University of Maryland Law Schools. They're two accredited law schools in Maryland. I went to one of them about 150 years ago. But everybody that graduates from those law schools, assuming they pass the bar and enter the practice of law, they all take an oath to the Maryland Constitution, of course, the U.S. Constitution as well. They all take an oath. And, you know, in neither of those law schools for the past 50 years has there been a course of study in the Maryland Constitution. They don't teach that which everybody gets out and takes an oath before God that they're going to protect and defend. Now, does that sound like that's just a oversight to you? That's just, what a mistake. We just missed that. I mean, or is that part, or would you think that's part of an agenda, a larger agenda to accomplish this evil that they're doing that's actually removed us from the blessings of liberty that our founders tried to provide for us?
Well, if it was an accident, the second it was brought up, they would basically go all to the wall to correct it. They don't, which tells you it's intentional, and they don't want to discuss this at all. Now, one of the things people need to understand is all these mandates we hear about. I don't care what level of government comes from. These mandates are not law. They're pretend legislation, as you teach, Michael.
Yeah, that language for pretend legislation comes right from our Declaration of Independence. It's a wonderful phrase, because you know our founders were arguing with, declaring that things that the Parliament was doing, like the Stamp Act, the Tea Act, the Townsend Acts. They said you don't have the authority to do this. These things are not law. They didn't call them law. They called them acts of pretended legislation, which is an excellent term that I think we should use. And then if you were accused of violating one of these acts of pretended legislation, they called that pretended offense, pretended offenses. And that's what, you know, all these mandates, lockdowns, all of this stuff is what our founders would have called pretended offenses or pretended legislation. None of them were lawful. But if the people don't know it, then you don't object and they don't articulate, then you don't defend. And lawyers in Maryland and other states don't even understand what the law really is, then we've actually enslaved ourselves by our own ignorance. You know, Hosea 4:6, the prophet says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge." And that's what's happening. Jefferson said, "If a nation desires to be ignorant and free, it desires what never was and never will be." We've got to know these things. And by the way, that's why we founded the Institute on the Constitution. And that's why I know CSPOA, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, is very active in education of the people and particularly education of the law enforcement community, so that we need to know what the law is, and because we're perishing for lack of knowledge.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, a constitutional educator. Imagine that for Attorney General of the great state of Maryland. It gets exciting the second you start thinking about that, ladies and gentlemen. What does the future general election look like, sir? Are you going to face a Republican entrenched group that sides with the Democrats against you, or what do you think the landscape looks like?
Well, it's going to be an uphill fight. You know, in Maryland, it's about 2-1 Democrat registration over Republican. So my opponent is a former lieutenant governor of Maryland and currently a congressman from Maryland. But our platforms and our ideology could not be in more distinct lanes, if you will, Sam, because again, my opponent is in favor of what he calls reproductive rights. I don't understand that term, because reproductive rights to me, Sam, means the right to reproduce. Not the right to murder. So he's very distinct with me on that on that platform. Very also with respect to the Second Amendment. I mean, he's a gun grabber, so the idea of prosecuting public officials, which I would do, who have violated the Constitution and violated our rights, is what I would do. That's not part of his program. And election integrity, restoring election integrity, is not going to be part of his program. So I believe that we're going to be very, very distinct, and it's going to be an opportunity for the people of Maryland to declare and to stand up and declare whether they want to return to and restore constitutional America with the American view of law and government, the American view that's contained precisely and concisely in the Declaration of Independence. Or whether we're going to just continue down this communist socialist road. That's really
you couldn't find more contrasting candidates, ladies and gentlemen. This is for America to decide right now in the upcoming general, and that's why I highlight this, because you've got an extremely liberal Democrat in a primarily Democratic stronghold with a real constitutional American standing up and saying, hey, folks, do you want to stand with liberty? Do you want to have your freedoms protected? All right. That's really the question before us, ladies and gentlemen. This is serious. Where do people go to support your campaign, Michael?
Thank you. Thank you. Patriots for Perutka, Patriots for with the number four, Perutka, Perutka. That is our website. You can find out ways there that you can help. We need all kinds of help. Of course, we need financial help, because these are expensive things to do, these kind of campaigns. But we can use all kind of other help as well with respect to media, and all the different volunteering and activities that go on, everything from sign waving to poll watching, et cetera, et cetera. So we need help all across the board. PatriotsForPeruta.com, and you can find out ways that you can be helpful. Also, we flesh out there our positions. What makes us distinct? What makes us American? And what I believe will help us to do what our founders intended, which is to preserve the blessings of liberty to our posterity. That's what we're about.
Is the media being decent and fair, or are they being in the tank as well?
So far, I haven't had what I would call decent or fair media. No.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is partly how they commit election integrity problems. When we say the media is not fair, wow, this guy won the primary. He's in the general election, right? He's going to face off somebody. We need to have fair, open debates, discussions, and fair media treatment. Or are they going to pick sides and double down? And when they use all their efforts in the media to promote one side and down the other side, how much money does that equate to in an election? Folks, we got to be real about this. Michael, thank you. We'll have you back soon. We'll keep an eye on your campaign, brother. Godspeed.
Sam, great to be with you. Thank you, sir.
PatriotsForPerutka.com. That's the number four. PatriotsForPerutka.com. More in seconds.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is urging the State Department to label Russia a state sponsor of terrorism. In an interview Thursday, Pelosi said the move was long overdue and that she had been advocating it for months. In the Senate, a resolution has been introduced calling on Secretary of State to designate Russia as a sponsor of terrorism. Officials from Russia, Ukraine, and the United Nations plan to sign a deal to resume exports of Ukrainian grain via the Black Sea on Friday. As the made-for-TV January 6 committee continues their mostly partisan investigation, without any credible cross-examination taking place, former Attorney General Bill Barr on Newsmax last night points out how partisan this spectacle is.
I think is a misuse of the process, and it sort of highlights the fact that it is a committee that's weighted in one direction.
USA Radio News.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-230-2777. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds, too. Call 800-230-2777. 800-230-2777.
U.S. Representative Lee Zeldin, the Republican candidate for New York governor, was attacked by a man who apparently tried to stab him at an upstate event Thursday. But the Army Reserve Lieutenant Colonel Congressman managed to escape uninjured and continued his speech. Many political pundits agree. In New York, the race for governor will be between Democrat Kathy Hochul and Representative Lee Zeldin. A bacterial infection outbreak in the turtle world is affecting people.
A salmonella outbreak has been linked to small turtles. According to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, they have announced that so far 15 people have been sick across 11 states, with 5 requiring hospitalization. The CDC stated that many of these outbreaks have been reported from people purchasing turtles from online stores. They noted that it is illegal to sell turtles that small. From the USA Radio News Los Angeles Bureau, I'm Ellie Andrews.
USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Man, we have got just star-studded guest after star-studded guest on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, wow. Guest now, Josh Phillip, investigative reporter, epictimes.com, theepictimes.com. Josh Phillip, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable, sir.
Hey, always a pleasure being here.
The ultimate question: what really happened on January the 6th? You know, a lot of us have been wondering that. Many of us weren't there. I know a lot of people that were there. I interviewed all of them. Many of them were there trying to stop the abuses that took place. Many of them were there peacefully outside praying. Nobody meant any harm. But I understand there were a few bad actors that literally brought this thing to the brink intentionally. Connecting the dots has been really hard because Congress asking questions to FBI, to the Justice Department, to the Capitol Police, and all they do is go, you know, we can't talk about that, Congressman. You know, we can't talk about that, Senator. And just literally getting shut down. And then they have this little scandal on TV about this, primetime TV, where the Democrats are literally trying to barbecue anybody even associated with it. Now, define associated with it. Well, if Sam Bushman says, hey, there were bad actors there and most people were good, then, well, Sam Bushman is a January 6th apologist. And therefore, wow, you know, Sam's involved too somehow. You know, it's guilt by association. It's Aesop's Fables, the company you keep. Kind of a dishonest narrative they're playing. You know that it's political theater at its best when we can't get to the bottom of it. There's hundreds, maybe thousands of hours of video that they will not release. And the big question is why? What have they got to cover up? We know the committee lied on multiple occasions and got caught lying. We know that in the impeachment to Donald Trump, they literally used evidence that turned out to be completely bogus, not evidence at all. Well, if you want somebody to get to the bottom of this for us, the Epoch Times has done that, ladies and gentlemen, and they're releasing a film today. What really happened on January the 6th? Josh Phillips, what the heck happened, man?
Well, a lot of stuff that you just mentioned. And, of course, as you mentioned as well, really these hearings are not showing people what really happened. Not only are they not showing people what really happened, they're actually lying to people. I can tell you, as someone who's seen a lot of the footage, you mentioned there's thousands of hours that have not been seen by the public. We've actually received quite a bit of footage. I wouldn't say everything. If you were to look at the totality of evidence provided to some of the lawyers, it would take you 3 years to watch it all. But we've worked with researchers who have access to most of that footage, a lot of that footage. And we've taken a lot of that and put it together in this documentary, which is the real story of January 6th on Epoch TV. And as you mentioned, too, you know, there's a lot of things to dig into with this. You have the suspicious actors. You have the fact that a lot of people who were there that day, the normal Trump supporters, many of them were trying to stop these what we call suspicious actors, these individuals who were actively breaching the Capitol building, including while Trump was still giving a speech at the Ellipse. Who are breaking the windows and so on, and who, oddly enough, police seem to have no interest in. And these all raise serious questions of, well, they're doing this big hearing. Why are they falsifying evidence, altering video evidence, and removing context at this hearing if it's supposed to be an investigative hearing? And why are they not paying attention to the real criminals, the ones who I think most Trump supporters actually would agree probably should be investigated? And as you mentioned, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered on this.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the Epoch Times has Epoch TV Live, okay? And on Epoch TV Live today, they have this documentary, What Really Happened on January the 6th. It's premiering today, July 22nd, the real story of January 6th. And it's an incredible documentary, folks, about this. Now, I want you to know that if you watch it today, it's free. After that, it'll cost a couple of bucks to watch it because we all need to fund the Epoch Times, okay? But I'm telling you right now, if you go to theepictimes.com, you click on the TV section, you can watch the movie or the documentary today. Who's in it? How'd you put it together, Josh?
Well, so we got a lot of video evidence. The idea initially was that we would basically take a lot of the evidence we received personally that show a very different picture of what took place on January 6th. We have, for example, some video analysis showing a second shooter for Ashley Babbitt. We have video evidence showing that the four people who did die that day.
Hold on, ladies and gentlemen, did you hear that? A second shooter for Ashley Babbitt. This is the one where, you know what, they claimed a bunch of people died at the hands of patriots. It turned out to be a lie. But then we find out that the only people that really died was Ashley Babbitt because the government killed her. The primary shooter was discovered but never had any accountability for this. And now there's a second shooter?
Yes.
Josh,
so everyone, I think many people have seen the video footage of Officer Byrd who shot and killed Ashley Babbitt. But right behind Officer Byrd, there's actually a second shooter. We don't know if he fired or not, but among ourselves, we were kind of looking at the footage and trying to figure out whether or not he fired his gun. Regardless of that, though, the individual, we don't know who he is, draws his pistol, and oddly enough, looks like he's covering the grip of his pistol with a handkerchief. It's a very strange shot, but it's something I don't think anyone's talked about before. We of course, show that Ashley Babbitt, right before she climbed through that window, I think a lot of people don't know that, as you mentioned, a lot of people tried to stop the breaching of the Capitol. Ashley Babbitt punches the guy in the face who broke that window, suggesting that she did not support what was happening. She did not agree with people, you know, breaking windows or destroying public property in there. Video evidence suggests that she may have been concerned for her life. She may have been worried about the people around her. We do know that she was surrounded by at least 20 what we would call suspicious actors. And there is a lot of evidence suggesting that she climbed through that window mainly to escape that area. After she climbed through immediately, she was shot and killed by Officer Byrd, which in the video we actually brought in a use of force expert, one of the most credible use of force experts in the country, Stan Kephart. If you go on the court databases, he's the number one expert called in by courts to testify on this, and he says it was a murder. His analysis.
Yeah, because look, there was no reason. There was no reason to shoot her, even if she went through the window. There was no threat by her whatsoever.
Well, an even basic protocol for police shootings was not followed by Officer Byrd. And so, really, Officer Byrd absolutely should be arrested for this crime, and he should face trial for what he did.
And what we really need to do is put him on the stand under oath and really get to the bottom of, look, what orders were you given? Why did you shoot her? You really weren't afraid for your life. You know that isn't true. What prompted you, or what gave you even the belief that you could shoot her? Because, look, knowing that it goes against all protocols and everything else, you must have a pretty solid belief that you're in the right to do this, or that you have authority to do this, or I don't know what, given direction to do this. And then later, when there's no prosecutions, doubling down on, hey, he did what we told him to do. That's a very compelling concern that ought to be vetted under oath, Josh.
I fully agreed. And actually, what we actually showed in this documentary as well is that the three other individuals who did die that day, video evidence does suggest that they may have been killed by police as well. And I think this is not known to most of the public.
Give us a little bit of detail on them so we can kind of tease the audience for the documentary.
Yeah, well, you know, I think a lot of people initially on January 6th, they heard that Officer Sicknick was killed by protesters. They beat him in the head with a fire extinguisher. That was fake. That was an absolute lie by the media. Even the D.C. coroner concluded that Officer Sicknick died the following day of natural causes.
Now, hold on. In addition to that, they used that in the impeachment, the Donald trial as well, right?
They're still using it, which is incredibly bizarre and absolutely fake, even according to the D.C. medical coroner. That's not true. So they are actively spreading disinformation. But everyone knows that, of course, Ashley Babbitt died, but they don't know about the three others who did, in fact, die that day. One of them is Roseanne Boyland, who died in the tunnel leading into the Capitol. And, of course, they say that her death was natural. They said it was caused by amphetamines. She was on Ritalin, which is a medication she had been on most of her life, and they claim that complications from Ritalin killed her. But the video evidence is very different. Basically, police deploy gas in the tunnel. It sucks the air out of the tunnel. People begin fleeing. They're trampling each other. Even that is improper use of force. People are fleeing, trampling each other. She collapses. People begin falling on top of her. And she's pleading with the crowd to save her life, to help her. The police not only do not help her, they begin, as she loses consciousness while people are holding her hand, begging the police to save her life. The police then begin beating her unconscious body. And a lot of the footage that people see at that Capitol tunnel, where people, you know, people think they see this video footage used by a lot of the media, used by these committees, of the violence taking place at that tunnel. That was people trying to save her life and begging the police to save her life and watching as the police beat her unconscious body. She, of course, did die, and that was one of them. The other two were heart complications, and the coroner said these were natural heart attacks and I believe a stroke. But video evidence shows that these individuals, they had those heart complications immediately after being struck with explosive munitions thrown by Capitol Police or the DC Metro. And we have video footage of this. The police, they're rampantly, just wantonly throwing these explosive munitions into the crowd, deep into the crowd, you know, not following normal use of force protocol, goes off next to people. These two individuals collapse with the blast and then die shortly after of heart complications.
Ladies and gentlemen, the problem is the narrative. And the problem is the hours and hours of video that they will not release. That's the next kind of question in this. hey, they're painting a narrative on national TV in prime time, but yet we don't get the video that they have and refuse to release. You got to ask yourself why that is. Now, Ray Epps is one of the quintessential, in my opinion, bad actors. He, along with the man at the top of the tower, working together, Revolver Magazine brought a lot of this forward. You know, what gives it these people? How come they're not even being required to testify? How come we're just pointing at, say, a Stuart Rhodes or you know, some of these other people, but yet we're not willing to look at Ray Epps and some of these guys? Now, do I believe the Oath Keepers were involved? I believe there was a few bad actor Oath Keepers. Yes, I do. But I don't believe the General Oath Keepers organization had ill intent. In fact, we have video evidence where Oath Keepers are actually protecting the police and rescuing them to safety. We have that on video as well, creating a completely different narrative regarding the Oath Keepers and others. Josh?
Yeah, so we cover all of that in the documentary. We have both on Ray Epps, the suspicious actors, and on the Oath Keepers. First of all, on the point of Ray Epps. So Ray Epps was one of the initial instigators. There, we have video footage of him the day, even before this, telling a crowd, we need to go into the Capitol. We need to go into the Capitol. You know, he was really one of the people organizing the crime that a lot of people are being charged with, or the alleged crime.
Now, a lot of the patriots saying, stop, he's a Fed, don't listen to him. And he shuts those people down and pushes his narrative, right?
That's right. On the video, you can hear people start chanting Fed, you know, suggesting people don't support him. The important thing with Ray Epps is while Trump was still giving his speech at the Ellipse, Ray Epps and about close to 100 other individuals we would call suspicious actors, because we don't know who they are, were breaching the Capitol. And the initial breaching of the Capitol, even a lot of the footage, a lot of the media shows, were these individuals. And it raises serious questions of, well, if they're claiming this was the main crime, why does the FBI seem to have no interest in these people? And if they claim Trump instigated the crowd, then why were the people breaching the Capitol while Trump was still speaking, while most people were over the Ellipse listening to Trump speak? It raises some serious questions. And then on top of that, New York Times starts running pieces defending Ray Epps when he was one of the main guys committing the very crime that they themselves claim was so serious. I mean, nothing lines up with it.
And why would the New York Times defend this guy and protect this guy anyway? What stake do they have in it? They're supposed to be a news organization. Yeah. They're supposed to ground all facts. They're supposed to deal with the who, what, when, where, why of a story, Josh.
Yeah, exactly. And it raises some serious questions, some major questions. I'll get to the Oath Keepers in a bit, but this is one of the main pieces of irony I think people have. A lot of the Trump supporters believe that those people should be investigated. A lot of the Trump supporters did not agree with the idea of destroying public property or tearing down police barricades. They did not agree with what Ray Epps and other individuals who breached the Capitol did. They want investigations. And again, you know, why is it that the people who are peacefully, you know, being waved into the Capitol building and doing the great walk through the building are facing 20 years in prison, but the people who committed the crime that Democrats and the committee and mainstream media agree is so serious, if those people are not even being looked at, they're not even being charged. I mean, what the heck is going on here? I think this does raise some serious questions. You know, on the point of the Oath Keepers, though, you brought them up briefly. And, of course, they're the ones being used to basically say this was an insurrection, a planned insurrection, and so on. We show video evidence, first of all, that really, I think, exonerates them in a lot of ways. As you mentioned, that there was evidence that they were actually helping police. Now, in their private communications, I think guys just joked, you know, former military guys, they were probably, you know, they were talking about the possibility of there being an insurrection or whatever. I mean, they're a militia. They did not bring any firearms with them, and they went there with the stated purpose of assisting police with security. And video evidence and all the evidence on them does show that that's exactly what they were doing. They were assisting police on security.
Now, let me stop you there, too. The Oath Keepers have a multi-year track record of doing that very thing, of peacefully supporting and helping the police and stopping riots and insurrections. They've got a multi-year track record all over the country of doing that very thing, too, though. This isn't just an isolated example where we're going, oh, it looks like they're the good guys. They have a track record of this, too, right?
Absolutely. And You know, I think the biggest piece of footage a lot of the left, the mainstream media and the committee try to use is them going up the stairs of the Capitol in military stack formation. You know, that's the word, military stack formation. But if you watch the video, they're actually being escorted by a police officer. And this is the full context of that. They're approached, we have video, we have all the video of this in the documentary. They're approached by a police officer who says that there's officers stuck, trapped inside the building. This officer asks the Oath Keepers for assistance to help get these officers out of the building. They agree to it, and they move, you know, they put their shoulder on this officer's, their hands on this officer's shoulder, that a quote-unquote military stack formation, and they're led into the Capitol by this police officer. And then shortly afterwards, they emerge with, you know, 10-ish, maybe a dozen-ish police officers in SWAT gear. And they, of course, did exactly what they said they'd do. They helped get these officers out of the building. But oddly enough, that office, again, helping an officer, escorted into the building by an officer, coming out with officers, and somehow that act is being painted as like a military operation. It's completely ridiculous. And I think absolutely dishonest.
Well, and you know what? There might have been an Oath Keeper or two that were bad actors. You know what? And let's get through investigations and vet that.
There's no evidence. There's no evidence of it.
I'm just saying, for example, some say Ray Epps was associated with the Oath Keepers at one time.
Yeah, that'd be a different story. But, you know, on the note, yeah, we have active people with them and the ones we can confirm with them. We looked for evidence. We didn't find any. I mean, if we did have the evidence, we could have showed it, but we did not have any evidence. There's no video suggesting it, and no evidence has been presented by either criminal charges or this investigative committee showing that.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Epic TV Live. Go to theepictimes.com. There's a video that you can watch today. What really happened on January 6th, premiering today. You can watch it for free today. After that, a couple of bucks to help the Epic Times continue to produce such blockbuster documentaries and more. How long is the film, Mr. Phillip?
It's about an hour and 40 minutes. You know, we tried to keep it as compact as possible, but, you know, when you're dealing with evidence of crimes and even exculpatory evidence showing that people did not commit crimes, it is important to show the full context. So, you know, it's an hour and 40 minutes, a bit longer.
The mainstream press likes to act like Donald was derelict in his duty, to say the least. What did he do for the 100 and whatever minutes, while this was all going down? And how come he literally did nothing to stop it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? There's a great false narrative there, too, right?
I mean, this is where it gets really ridiculous. If we watch the previous January 6th committee hearing, they painted the picture that Trump was basically unhinged, that he was trying to take the steering wheel and trying to force Secret Service to take him to the Capitol building. That's the picture they painted him, this unhinged, you know, crazy man trying to grab the wheel of this car and trying to, you know, force his way into the grounds of the Capitol. Then the one last night shows a totally different narrative. Then they claim that Trump is indifferent, and he's basically just sitting at the Capitol waiting for information to come out. Sitting at the White House waiting for information. He's basically unmoved by the whole thing. And so even that is self-contradictory. But the important part is this. Trump had offered for security that day. Trump had actually, he had made it so that they could have deployed the National Guard had they wanted to. And the choice.
All right, hold on. Say that again, because that's the quintessential point here that people need to understand. Say that again, sir.
Trump had authorized the deployment of the National Guard because, as anybody there would know, the Capitol Police was not staffed nor equipped to handle a crowd of that size. Not only that, so Trump authorized that. That would have been on the final decision would have been on Nancy Pelosi, Mitch McConnell, and D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser. The responsibility then falls on their shoulders. The question of why did they not agree to have proper security that day? Because Trump had authorized proper security that day.
Folks, that, in my opinion, is the quintessential. Why aren't the Republicans creating their own private investigations and running their information on TV, too? I don't understand why we're just taking a beating here and letting the false narrative rule the day.
Well, a couple points with that. So, first of all, I think a lot of them are just maybe afraid or they don't have access to the video evidence. The video evidence we provide in this documentary, I think, is more than sufficient to do that. At the same time, too, you actually, it's hard to find this information unless you're directly tied to sources, which we've received. Yeah, we have a lot of sources for this. Also, you can't publish a lot of it on YouTube. YouTube will, you know, they'll give you a strike. They might even delete your channel if you publish this on YouTube. And so in order to get the video evidence, you actually have to go directly to the lawyers, directly to people who are there and so on. And it's a very lengthy process.
And then to put out the evidence like you're doing, you got to have a non-deplatformable venue, right?
Yeah, well, and that's the benefit of Epic TV, which is, of course, our platform for this. Is that, you know, they can't censor us. We can post what we need there. We also have it on Rumble, actually, too. People could rent it there as well.
All right, what have I overlooked? We'll never get it done in a half hour, right? There's just too much content. I've tried to highlight some of the most important pieces. What have I left out that you believe is critical for the American people to know, sir?
Well, you know, we cut it down to an hour and 40 minutes, and even that was very difficult because easily we could – I mean, if you want to watch the full thing, it would take you 3 years to watch it, let's put it that way, if you want to watch the totality of evidence. But basically, this is what it comes down to. There were crimes committed on January 6th. Police officers on that day committed numerous crimes, unauthorized use of force, violence, assault under color of the law, murder, as in the case of Ashley Babbitt, and very likely entrapment. And I think this is the big piece here, is that if you look at the totality of evidence, there is significant evidence suggesting that this was an act of entrapment. And if that can be brought to court, pretty much this whole thing goes out the window. All charges could be dropped. And frankly, the responsibility of this, regardless of any of that, really does fall on, I think, the Capitol Police. And people.
Well, not only would all charges be dropped against the current people, but new charges would be filed against the treasonous people.
Which needs to happen.
This intentional entrapment is treason at the Capitol.
It is. And not only that, too, but I think most America does want there to be charges. They want to know why Ray Epps, these 100-ish suspicious actors, and frankly, the police who were violating the law are not being charged. You know, I think a lot of us do support police. I personally
agree.
You know, mostly support police, but it doesn't mean that they can violate the law however they want. It doesn't
we
mean
back
they have
the blue
like a,
when they're
an
true,
open
Josh.
Plate. Exactly. It doesn't mean that you support them when they violate the law, and they should be held accountable for that.
The question becomes, where does this all go to? You know what? We found out that Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and others kind of funded an attack on Donald when he was running for president as candidate and when he was president. They literally funded the dossier and more. They got caught doing all that kind of stuff. Who done it here? Who really put them all up to this and who created this false flag, if you will?
Well, that's going to be the big question I think we're going to need answers to very soon. And I think that if Republicans do retake the House, it's very likely they will launch their own investigations. Regardless of that, though, even if they don't do that, I do believe that lawyers very likely can and I think will step forward to launch their own lawsuits on behalf of some of these individuals who are, in fact, facing false charges. And I do think the truth will come out eventually based on that.
Yeah, what the government has a track record of doing is dismissing these cases and calling them mistrials or whatever else so that the evidence doesn't come out. They do that often, too. Ammon Bundy and others come to mind when that's the reality check.
I'm aware of that, yes. Yeah, he was also pretty badly falsely maligned, yeah.
Yeah, he was guilty of nothing, and he served 2 years in jail, half of it in solitary confinement. When he gets done, guilty of nothing, and his lawyer gets tased in court for crying out loud. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Josh Philip with us, doing an incredible job. TheEpicTimes.com, they've got an incredible documentary out about what really happened on January the 6th. You can watch it. It's premiering today. It's free. TheEpicTimes.com. Josh Philip, thank you so much. We'll have you back soon, and God bless.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Always doing a phenomenal job on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. We bring the guests that matter most to the table. That is Liberty Roundtable Live. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.